Hello and welcome to Pancreas Pals. I'm Emily.
And I'm Christy. We're just two gals in our 20s trying to live our best type 1 diabetic lives.
Every week we tackle a new topic from the diabetic perspective. Although we offer tips, we are not medical professionals, but we also offer plenty of anecdotes and general thoughts about how to embrace the type 1 lifestyle on your own terms.
It's not always easy to do through all of the literal highs and lows, but it does help to have a pancreas pal to turn to.
Hey guys, welcome to Pancreas Pals. Emily here.
And Christy.
And welcome to this week's edition of Pancreas Pals. And yeah, so this week's episode, we're going to discuss a little bit about food and reflecting and how to really kind of log things occasionally and just figure out trends and patterns. And mostly, this isn't making sense, words are hard, but we're bringing this up in part because Christy just spent another year around the sun. Girl just had a birthday, so happy birthday to Christy. Hey,
thank you so much. It's true, I'm 23 now.
Coping. She made it. We're now officially overlapping in age.
It's fun.
Yeah, we got like only 4 months to go before that changes, so embrace it.
I will. You know what, that's a whole third of a year. I will take it.
Yeah, boom. Look at you and your math.
It's the most you'll get out of me, so.
Yeah, in case you guys are unaware of how Christy and I met, we were both in the College of Communication at Boston University. Check out episode one, season one, where we talk about all of that and how we were very differently and very scarily diagnosed later on in life compared to our pancreatically challenged counterparts. Just a little plug there. Definitely go back and listen to season one if you haven't had the chance. Back to season two, which is where we are now in this week's episode. Christy, in case you guys don't follow us on Instagram and are unaware, she posted this amazing picture of her and all her birthday donuts, which caused a lot of commotion and jealousy from my end because it's not my birthday, and I wanted to celebrate Christy's birthday, but I live in New York, and she lives in Boston, and so is a tale of unrequited lost love, but
these donuts are truly heartbreakers. They are wonderful. Anyone in the Boston area, go to Union Square Donuts immediately. I don't care that it's 4 p.m. Immediately go. They are incredible, wonderful things. My roommate was delightful and went out early that morning to pick up the donuts to have ready for me when I came out of the shower.
Oh, what a gem.
She is adorable. Made my birthday very special. But she had a whole box of these donuts, which honestly, even if you don't follow us on Instagram, like please do. But like, just go look at them because they are some big donuts. They are flashy.
They're ogle-worthy.
They are beautiful. They're beautiful, but like, I'll give it to you at face value. It can be a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Intimidating.
Especially as a diabetic.
Especially as a diabetic.
And I'm like, I can feel my pancreas run away. Like, I feel it tense up.
It exits her body. Oh, it's disgusting.
It's like, what are you about to do? I'm already dead. And you're like, bitch, I know, but I want this donut.
But I need to bar you right now. Come back. I, being the needy little person that I am, saw this box full of donuts, and I decided to cut a wedge from every single donut in the box.
Because that's what I do!
So I could try all of them, because I could not, in good conscience, decide. And they were all autumnal flavored, which, if you haven't caught on, because my birthday's in October, I love fall-flavored things. So I had an apple cider
Christy
donut in there.
Christy is a fall princess.
It's true. It's true.
Follow her personal Instagram, and you will see how autumnal of a weekend she has every weekend in the fall, and it's a beautiful thing.
It's going to keep going, don't you worry.
Wait, plug your personal.
It's Alston Princess. I now live in Brighton, but I lived in Alston. I lived in Alston for 2 years. I still feel like I'm the princess of, like, trash.
Alston? For those unaware of Boston neighborhoods, Alston is not necessarily the one you want to be associated with as far as for a lifetime. Like, it's great for college. It's right near Boston University. A lot of college kids around Boston live there because it is, you know, off the Green Line. It's pretty easy to get to, and it is a cheaper area to live. But
it's nicknamed Rat City.
And I have seen a number of rats. Yeah, listen, Christy, I'm sure you've seen many. You've lived among them.
We had a kitchen mouse. I named her Beatrice. If Erica moves away from Boston and Zach breaks up with me, there's a really good chance I'm going to grow old alone and Alston. So
shout out to Zach, Christy's great boyfriend, that no pressure, but basically you just put infinite on him. Sorry to get away from that. Let's go back to those beautiful donuts, your one true love.
Yeah, case in point, they were just beautiful and fall flavored, and I had to try all of them. So I think, in fact, I know now that I'm saying this because I'm going to hashtag reflect and record, which is our like loose theme of the episode. My blood sugar before the donuts was 188. Yes, mm-hmm. Very specific, but this is where I'm at. So like that was fine for some donut flair. I could not tell you exactly how many units I had, but I did, like, I looked at everything. I don't know if I've ever explained this before, probably. I tend not to think about what's in front of me in terms of how many carbs is this. I just know my own unit scale really well. So when I look at a plate of food, I think this is X amount of units. So I did take like 2 extra units from what I actually thought I was going to need just because, like, it was so much sugar at once.
Right. You can't really stagger it. For those unaware, Christy uses injections.
Novolog. I should change my Instagram to Novolog Princess.
Oh, my God. I would totally get behind that.
You know what?
Maybe. Your Finsta. That'll be your Finsta dedicated to diabetes.
Maybe. We'll see. actually, you know, now that I'm saying it out loud, that actually is kind of funny. Anyway, so yeah, I figured with the amount of what I was having, if I were to just have like a bite of one of those donuts, I probably wouldn't take anything because that's a single bite, but I was having like a dozen bites.
Which is like one full donut or more.
If we're being honest, it was probably more. I was not being shy. It was my day, anniversary of my birth. I was going in.
You made it another year around the sun, and honestly, it's 2017, and that is something to be thankful for.
Think about that episode of Parks and Rec, Treat Yourself. Donuts, yes. Treat yourself. That's where I was in this moment.
Literally.
And then because I am truly, like, Alston or not, I am still a princess, around 2 p.m., I decided that my roommate and I should go get sandwiches from this awesome place called Jim's Deli in Brighton. I'm just free PRing all of these food places.
Yeah,
but
if you guys want to sponsor us, hit us up. Our email is pancreaspals123@gmail.com.
Truly, all I do is eat and then meal plan my next meal.
So. If we're not eating, we're thinking about our next meal.
Yeah, and it's a constant thought.
It's like you got to think and let, like, Christy, I think this is actually a telltale thing because when I was doing injections, I used to look at food as how many units. But now that I'm doing my pump, I look at it as how many carbs because I put in the carbs, you know what I mean? It calculates it for me. So I think that's a common thing for people who do injections. And I think that's a great way to look at it. Because
and it's funny when I look at a sandwich or something, depending on the thickness of the bread, like I swear in my mind, I like have a chart and I like segment the food mentally. And I'm like, all right, there's this many units. And like, let's say there's like a unit per like eighth of this sandwich that I'm like, okay, there you go. That's how many units I'm taking if I want to eat half of it or I want to eat the whole thing. And I think then this is what I did with the donuts. If I'm looking at something and I'm like, this is how many units it would be in a perfect world, I'm also looking then at the content. If let's say that I was going to have like a massive like sandwich that was, I don't know, a similar amount of carbs, but it was multigrain bread and like turkey, I would have stuck with the exact amount of, like, let's say it was like 5 units. Mm-hmm. I would be like, all right, this is exactly like a 5 unit sandwich for me. And it's multigrain bread and turkey, so I don't need to take anything extra. I did the opposite with the donuts because that is so sugar and carb rich, and I just did not feel like dealing with the spike because I knew I was going to be eating all day. So
and
after
added flavors in there for donuts, especially store bought and the bougie ones, they definitely have added like honey. You know,
I can only imagine what was in this
maple
apple cider donut, but it was beyond apple cider. I know that much. So after we're not fools. After we walked to the deli, I think I rechecked and I was like 189. Like I had gone up one point.
This
was over hours because I had the donuts before I started work that morning at like 8 and then we got sandwiches at like 2. But I mean, it just worked out really well. I'm going to call it a birthday miracle, but
yeah.
I think so. Then, of course, that evening, I'm 23, so I can talk about this, had a ton of champagne and pad thai for dinner.
Like
so I definitely saw a little bit of a spike that night, but, like, What's beautiful is that if you truly are treating yourself, and you know that this is the difference between constant indulgence and treating yourself. Like when I treat myself, like, yes, I might see a spike, but as easily as something spikes up is as easily as I can get it to come back down. If you're having trouble getting your numbers back down, like that's when you need to take a little bit of a time to hashtag reflect and just think about what your patterns have been. I'm really trying to work in this week's theme. Like I am pushing it. But it's true. Amazing. If you're having difficulty, sometimes it is a little bit of sickness, sometimes it's stress, sometimes it's just a bad time and it's not really due to anything that you're doing. Those are the most frustrating times.
It's hidden ingredients. For me, a lot of the time, like my big thing is I live in New York. I eat out a few times a week, and that's usually when I see my spikes. Like, I don't usually see my spikes when I'm making my own food because obviously Same. I know what's in it. So it's like not like I'm in, you know, the middle of nowhere eating home, like amazing homemade fried chicken where I can count the crushed cornflakes. It's like I need, you know, the added, and you know, the reality of it is that we live in the US and we live in a place where people add sugar to a lot of things, like a lot of things that we have no clue about. So you just got to be careful. And that's why I love my CGM. And that's probably a big reason why I should not have it, is because I constantly watch.
That's why I can't have one. I would drive myself up a wall.
I do drive myself nuts. And my doctors have made me increase my, my graph. So I only get alerts above 220 now. Before it was 180. And they were like, you need to calm down. But my blood sugar was really great for the 2 weeks where it was 180, but that's neither here nor there. at the end of the day, you got to hashtag reflect and realize at the same time, these are numbers that keep you alive, but that doesn't mean that they have to, you don't live for the numbers. You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to my boyfriend's aunt, who's also surprisingly type 1, and shout out, she's amazing. I met her today. I guess I shouldn't be so creepily obsessed already, but anyways, here we go.
You gotta let it fly.
Yeah, just let my freak flag fly. She had her own journey to type 1, and she's actually a nurse, and she has her PhD. She's like an amazing woman, and she has type 1, and she uses an insulin pump. And we were talking about how managing diabetes works, and, you know, good control and stuff like that. What works for me might not work for her, that type of thing. And I had this realization that I have, I feel like every time I have this conversation with a fellow diabetic, at the end of it, I'm like, I am only 23 and I can't bank on the fact that someone's going to find a cure in my lifetime. So these numbers, while they're not ideal all of the time, I got to celebrate the ones that are good and just let go of the ones that are bad. I can only learn from it. I can only move forward. And yeah, my A1C is not where I want it to be nearly. Like it's not great. And that the thing is, I've only had diabetes for 3 years. Like I have no doubt in my mind that in the next 3 years I'll be able to bring it down, but for now I'm gonna have that slice of bread. I'm gonna have, you know, like half of the brioche roll instead of all of it. I'm gonna enjoy the things that I like to enjoy. I'm just gonna do it in moderation and try my damn best to cover it with insulin. But I don't want to spend hopefully the next 60 or 70 years looking at my phone, staring at these numbers, being obsessive and upset over it, when at the end of the day, I love food and I am going to continue.
Yeah, we just admitted. We think about it constantly.
All I do is think about food, and I'm a healthy person in all other ways other than diabetes and thyroid disease, and two things that are not a reflection of my diet and not a reflection of anything that I did to cause them. So why should I have to go and completely 180 my lifestyle when I can maybe, you know, 140 it, 120 it. It doesn't have to be full turn.
It's very hard to explain that to people too when you explain what the normal range is. Like, oh, normal people, pancreatically non-challenged people, live capable between 80 and 120 all the time. So for people that really don't understand like what a true spike is, something like 150, I see 150 and I'm like, phew, good day. Someone else might see 150 who doesn't understand what that number means, and they're like, oh my God, what does that mean?
the really type of, like, the really on top of it diabetics that are, like, obsessed with keeping it. And I don't want to say, to be honest, and I don't want to cause any enemies, and we love all diabetics, we love all non-diabetics, we are not, you know, I'm not speaking for Christy, but for me, I get stressed out when I follow accounts, and we talked about this with Meredith last season, season one. Meredith, whoa, Miriam Brand.
Who's I was going to say, who the heck is Meredith?
I honestly don't even think I know a Meredith, to be honest. Moving on, that was weird. We talked about it with Miriam about how following some really great Instagram accounts for diabetics might be motivating and seeing these positive numbers and seeing how they live their lives. But I was comparing my numbers to them, and I was sitting there thinking, wow, they have their Dexcom targets set in between like 70 and 120. Like, what's going on? They're keeping their numbers within this at all times.
I would honestly go low if I was focusing hard on keeping it in that range, especially in the latter half of the day. Like, I need to put myself to bed at like 180. Sometimes if I've had a low day previously, I will put myself to bed at 200 and there's still a chance I will wake up low. I drop overnight. It's always been that way. So it's completely unrealistic for me to, I aim to like end up in good places, but on the in-between, like there's not,
it's a journey. It's a roller coaster for a reason. Enjoy it. Like, maybe not enjoy it, but
what can you do?
So my hot take, my takeaway from that is follow people that make you feel, that don't make you feel worse or more stressed or anything other than positive. Yeah, I said
follow people that make you
positive.
People that make you feel safe.
Yeah, safe. You know, that's a good word.
Safe in celebrating and safe in not punishing yourself when things go badly.
I swear to you, Christy, I saw someone post the other day that they were at 160 and they felt, I quote, so sick, so thirsty, so high at 160. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was sitting there and they weren't pregnant. Like, being pregnant with diabetes, it's a whole different thing. I do want to have an episode, like, you know, God bless. I have never had a child.
Do we have to get pregnant for that episode? Because I'm not down.
No, we do not have to get pregnant for that episode. But I have friends who've had babies with type 1, and they're they are type 1, and they've had, you know, healthy babies. But you do have to keep a really tight blood sugar. But I think the high level is 120. But these are girls who are 22, 23. Who are walking around at 60 being like, yes, I'm at a good number, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting here, like, at 60, I'm shaking, I'm scared, and I am downing an orange juice like it's my job. Like, everyone has a different comfort level.
Wait a minute, their high is 120?
Yeah. I'm concerned for them. There are also diseases out there like diabulimia and all these really scary things that are associated with diabetes that are very serious and definitely worth a very serious episode that people need to be careful about contracting and making sure that they're having a healthy mental health, mental thought process behind all their bolusing, their units and everything, and definitely seek any type of help if you are, you know, feel like you might be going down a negative path or any way in which you're not 100% feeling healthy. I definitely recommend that. Also, like, go see Miriam.
Yeah, talk to Miriam if you're down about anything.
Yeah.
Along,
back to food.
No, I was just going to say, kind of along all of these lines, I'm also getting ready for just, like, an annual type of checkup. And that's typically a time before an appointment when I write down some of my numbers. I try to get a beat on just what my pattern has been, because I think everyone knows, like, when you go see your endocrinologist, one of the first things they say, other than, you know, hello, is like, how are you doing? And it's a very loaded question, because they're asking in general, how are you feeling, how are you doing mentally, but also, you know, they want to talk about your numbers. That's why you're there. So I think it's a good idea to have a little bit of a record with you of just, like, good experiences you've had and bad, because when I have seen some, like, crazy spikes and I don't understand quite what happened, I know that this was a big thing when I was first diagnosed, and it's actually something Emily brought up earlier. It was the hidden ingredients type of thing that used to get me a lot. I feel like I've gotten a lot better with that, but, you know, once you kind of conquer one thing, another challenge comes up. So
life ain't perfect.
So, I mean, even something like, oh, I saw these numbers when I had a cold. Like, is this normal? You know, you can kind of just get a little bit of mental peace as well from it. So I think it's definitely a good idea before you go see your doctor, even if you're seeing numbers that are a little bit unusual for you, I think it's a really good idea to try to keep track of what got you there.
Right, I agree. And if you're struggling eating specific foods, like I am obsessed with Pirate's Booty from Trader Joe's, and that's been, like, it's weird because I'm really into chocolate and all things sweets, but lately, the last, like, month, I've just discovered the Trader Joe's Cheddar Pirate's Booty, and it's, like, sorry, there's constantly a fire truck going on outside of my window. Welcome to New York. It's our theme. I think it's the background music to my apartment at this point, but I hope they're okay moving forward. Definitely don't be afraid to bring it up to your doctor. And if you feel like you need to, you know, seek a nutritionist's help, my Naomi Berry Diabetes Clinic or Center, SOS, they actually, when I was first diagnosed, they required me to see a nutritionist. And I still talk to the nutritionists. Like, they have nutritionists. They have, like, nutritionists that are also nurse practitioners. They have a little bit of everything. And I know that really helped me, not just when I was trying to lead a healthier life in general as far as exercising and dealing with type 1, which, listen to Rob Howe's episode, which was last week's. He's great. He's a pal for life, as you can tell from Christy and I posting about him all the time on Pancreas Pals Instagram. Moving forward, these are all things that your doctors can discuss with you, and it's not like anything's off limits just because you're diabetic. Like, I don't personally eat, I don't eat too much sushi anymore, which has been really sad to me, but, like, I'll eat sashimi and stuff like that, but the rice, it has added stuff in it. The sushi rice has, like, a little bit of added sugar here and there to make it sticky. Like, you never know what's lurking, and that's something where instead of having two rolls, I'll have one roll and then, like, a lettuce roll. And it's a compromise because I don't like to give things up, but I will say that I no longer eat bagels, like, full New York bagels, because those things have, like, upwards of 80 carbs, which is, like, more than a milkshake at Shake Shack half the time. So I'd rather have a milkshake than a bagel, but that's just me.
I disagree. I need the bagel.
I see, and you're able to eat bagels, too. You eat bagels all the time, right?
When I'm in New Jersey.
You've mastered the bagel. Yeah.
I eat them sometimes in Boston. I just think of them as bread. The real bagels are in New York, New Jersey for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's something I have had to play around with a lot. I really have it down at this point. But yeah, that was, trust me, I have it down after, like, a baker's dozen of failures. No pun intended.
Right. Oh my God. There's
just kidding.
Pun.
There was a pun intended.
And she has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. It only took her 22 minutes and 16 seconds, but, no, I'm proud of you. That was a good one.
Looks over my shoulder.
23 years. This is what we get. Another great dad joke. I'm into it though. But moral of, talk to a professional, talk to a nutritionist, talk to your doctor, do some playing around yourself as long as you feel safe and, like, you know what you're doing and, you know, you always have some low snacks on hand, and wait things out, see how things go. That's always been my biggest issue, is when I am seeing an 80 and I still have, like, 3 or 4 units on board, I'll reach for Skittles because I'm freaking out, but it could just be, like, 80, and then in 10 minutes I'll be like 90, and then, you know what I mean, it could be rising. And I oftentimes act before I feel anything, but I've also kind of stopped feeling lows, which is why my CGM, shout out to Dexcom, has been a legitimate lifesaver. But again, these are all topics for another day. So yeah, big moral of,
case in point, I just think it's important to think about your numbers, not in a, like, none of this exists in a vacuum. This is a lifelong disease, very unfortunately, so it kind of has to be taken day by day. This was a piece of advice that Miriam gave us a while ago, but it's something that I've really come to think of as just a comfort thought. Like, every single day with diabetes is a fresh start. And I think that's probably one of the, like, few comforts that I have with it. But I think it is the most positive way to think about it, because you can have a truly awful day one day and be completely fine the next. then have another awful day, then have like several great days, then have several bad days. But it's all what you make of it. And if you're sitting there and you're punishing yourself, that's really different than sitting and reflecting, because a bad day is nothing to beat yourself up about. It's just something to learn from. So kind of keeping a little record of what led to bad things, and oh, I ordered this meal out and I was like 300 later that night, then the next time you want to get that, like, you still can, but you know, bolus for it properly. And if you have some kind of record of what happened last time, then you can tackle it all the better. And this time you might be 250 afterwards, and then you try it next time. And you know, it's a constant game, but it's a constant learning experience, and there is always, always room and opportunity to do better.
Always room to grow.
Yeah.
Learning is for a lifetime. And
that's beautiful.
I mean, hey, this is what I'm here for, right? The random ass taglines. On that note,
that's why I keep you around.
I keep you around for your dad jokes, so as much shit
I
give.
That's all I have.
I keep cussing this episode. What is going on? SOS. Okay.
We're getting bitter in our old age.
Yeah, 23 has really aged us. anyone older than 23 listening, we apologize. Moving forward, we are very glad that you joined us for another week of Pankhurst Pals Insights. Sorry if we rambled on, but also not sorry, because this is who we are. what is going on with me? SOS. I just need to end this already.
Day.
It's a roller coaster, not just blood sugar wise. Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at pancreas_pals, on Facebook at pancreas_pp.
Yeah.
And our website, pancreaspals.com. Head to iTunes, download the episodes, or you can listen through our website. And we really are excited for the rest of the season. I know I keep saying that every week, but we still have some really cool guests coming up in the woodwork. So make sure you stay tuned. Stay with us every Sunday. We will post a new episode. And it was great talking to you, Christy.
Back
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye.